one side of the story, right? They're going to search for the truth. But hey, I'm right in my own way, in my own cause. I'm right because I brought you the story first. Human nature, many manipulators and narcissists understand this. If I go to you with the story first, guess what? That's what you're going to believe. Human nature. I know I'm going to be the bad guy here, but this is spiritual, and it does affect our morality, our moral compass, just so you know. It's in the Bible. And so the Bible here is saying the first to state their cause, right? It's talking about, let me see, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause. He who's the first one to say his story or his side of the story. Man, if that were the case, parents, how many of us, right, moms? How many of us would continuously be anxious, or we wouldn't have any type of peace? It'll be chaotic. Well, this child came with the story first, so I'm going to believe that child. No, there's a cause and effect. Amen? Well, why did you say that? Why did you do that? No, little Johnny did this, little Susie did this, little Carlitos did this, little Juan, whatever. Amen? Listen, why? There's a why. Why did they tell you that? Why did they hit you? Why? Because I hit him first. Oh, okay. Oh, big difference. Now, you shouldn't hit, but understand the reason why, right? You shouldn't say bad things to each other, but understand the reason why that was said. This is what the Bible is trying to get us to understand. We need to know the complete facts before we make a decision. We can't have reckless thinking, because this is what our children use to manipulate us as well, parents. To pit a father against a mother and a mother against a father. Daddy, can I get ice cream? No. Go to mommy. Mommy, I did my homework. I cleaned my teeth. I brushed my teeth. I cleaned my room. Can I get ice cream? Yes. And then the dad's like, what in the world? Where's the respect? Right? Where's the respect in this house? There's no respect. There's no respect. Because if there were, what would the mom said? What did your dad say? That's respect. Mom didn't know. What if I don't know? Now you know. G.I. Joe. Amen. American heroes. Knowing is now half the battle. Amen. Listen, we need to communicate amongst each other, because it's our human nature for us to come to with the story first to you, so we can get our way. You follow me? So we can get our way. The kids, you don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to get their own way. It's human nature. You're like, oh, I have a very clever kid. No, you have a very lying kid. Amen. A very deceitful kid. Where are they getting that from? Home. Parents, we're the leaders. Amen. Are we awake this morning? I said it was going to be spiritual this morning. Amen. And then we'll get nice and happy with the Mother's Day. But it's the truth. See, you have to understand, every relationship has to start with the foundation. Right? And the foundation in your home, either you're going to live by integrity or you're not. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose and say, well, this is right in the Bible, I'm going to use this. But for this part of the Bible, I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to use that. And what we don't want to say is because it's stepping on my toes. Right, Brother Nickerson? It's stepping on my toes. I'm not going to use that part for the Bible because it makes me look bad. No, you're bad. Embrace that. I'm bad. And this is not a Michael Jackson song, okay? You know I'm bad. No, I'm bad. We're bad. We're sinners saved by what? Grace. The grace is that God's giving us, is the Word of God teaching us how to live a more excellent way of life with a better behavior, because we're not used to that. My human nature, my sinful nature is accustomed to doing bad, to doing wrong, to being selfish, to getting my way. It's not to live for others. It's not to think about your emotions over mine. That's not my human nature. It's for me, myself, and I, and how can I get ahead and take advantage of the situation? Pastor, you're like that? Yeah, just like you. I'm just willing to admit it. You don't have to be bad, though. Amen. This is not Star Wars. You don't have to go to the dark side. We don't. Amen. We can choose to be right. How? By obeying the word of God, by doing that which is against nature, by living a disciplined life. And the Bible says here in verse 17, he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him out. We live in a world where people make decisions about someone before ever sitting down and hearing the whole story, right? Rumors, this is the reason why they spread faster than the truth. Why? Because we're going to pick and choose what we want to believe. Man, we have to understand whose lens. How many of you use glasses? Raise your hand. Okay. Glasses have how many lenses? Well, it depends, right? But two for the majority part. Amen? Some of you are cool. You have like four, six, or eight. Amen? I get it. But for the most part, two. Okay? These lenses help us focus our what? Our vision, our eyesight. Okay. Whose lens are you using? Are you using your worldview lens on how to deal on a situation with your child, with your spouse, with your church people, with work people? Or are you using the lens of God? Are you looking at your situations through the word of God? You know why we don't? I don't like putting that on. It doesn't feel good. It feels uncomfortable. It takes hard work. Yeah. But it becomes easier and you're more blessed if you're disciplined enough to obey it over and over and over again. Benjamin, right? How old are you, bud? One of the best advices I can give you is start obeying the word of God now that you're young, because when you're older, it's going to be more difficult. It's for free. You don't have to pay me, okay? But it's true. This is why we try to reach them at a young age. So that way, when they're older, a lot of these young kids, they don't know about life. I get it. They're growing up, not too, you know. But they don't know about paying bills, right? They don't know about disagreeing with their spouse yet, amen? They don't understand when emotions are involved, it sometimes clouds the decision-making. They don't understand any of that. But if we can teach them how to live a more disciplined life before they get involved in all of that, they'll learn how to live a more excellent way of life, because they're obeying the word of God, because they're looking at situations through the lens of who? God. I know this is not exciting, but I promise you it's impactful. It can revolutionize your life, because most of us live selfishly, don't we? Well, you hurt me. I can't forgive you. Okay, I'll forgive you, but you hold a grudge and you're resentful. You know what forgiveness is? Just let it go, man. Understanding there's a big judge and he's going to take care of that. But I want to see it. I know you want to. Stop. Look at it through the lens of God. What does the Bible say? See, a lot of people are going to misunderstand us, but when they do, I want us to understand that the Bible teaches the whole matter. The Bible teaches to judge righteously. The Bible teaches us to guard the spirit. And here's the thing. Walk in the truth when we're misunderstood. It's that simple. I know it's not fireworks and it's not exciting, but even Jesus was falsely accused. Jesus was misrepresented, and Jesus was judged unfairly. He died on the cross. The perfect man died on the cross because we hated him, because he didn't think like us, look like us, act like us. You say, Pastor, I didn't crucify him. Yeah, your sins crucified him. It was in a different era, yes, different years, but just like them, we're religious. We read the word of God, and we don't understand the difference between spirit and living in the flesh. That's what happened to Jesus. If Jesus were here now and days, in modern day era, we would treat him the same way. Because he's not like us. He doesn't act like us. He doesn't talk like us. He actually forgives. He's an individual that to many of us would think, he's crazy, man. What in the world? Who is that guy? Who does he think he is? No, he doesn't think he's anyone. But he's about his Father's business. Amen? The question is not, will people misunderstand you? Here's the real question I want to help us out this morning, and I know I don't have much time, but here it is. How will you respond when people do misunderstand you? How will you respond? Here's my first point. Don't form conclusions without the full story. Proverbs 18:13 again talks about, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Again, I naturally lean toward information that confirms what I already believe. That's the truth, okay? God warns us against reacting. Well, God is telling us, don't react. I need you to hear, okay? I need you to confirm. You follow me? I need you to hear the whole matter. You know why there's many broken relationships today? Yeah, we don't hear the other side. We just don't. You know what? Why there's many divided churches? We don't hear the other side. We hear, oh, pastor, this. And then there's a group that already said, oh, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. You ever heard somebody say that? Like, before it even happened, amen? This person's like a fortune teller, I guess. I don't know about what the fortune is, amen? But they can tell the truth or something, right? I knew she was pregnant. I'm like, man, really? I don't even think the husband, but okay, amen. Praise the Lord. I knew. I knew like 10 months ago. Oh, she just got pregnant last week. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have these certain assumptions, right? And then when a story comes out, it's like they jump into it, and then you're like, what? No, I didn't do that. What are you talking about? But in church, that happens through gossip, through rumors. It spreads quickly. You know, did you hear about Pastor? No, what happened? And again, I don't think we have this problem. If we do, well, hopefully this is taking care of it. But I don't think we have this problem. Did you hear Pastor? No, he has cancer. No, why? He cut his hair off. You know, I mean, his hair fell off. No, it's not true. It's not true. Okay, if this is being recorded, it's not true. But you know, people can make assumptions, right? I knew there was something wrong when he started losing all his hair. No, folks, I shaved it because my head looks patchy, okay? So I need to shave it again. That's all that's going on. But that's how rumors begin. Of course, we can have uglier stories, but I'm not going to get into that, right? We could talk about marriages. We could talk about couples. Something's wrong with them, you know that? We could do all of that. But what I want us to understand here, it's naturally for us to do that. But that's why churches are divided. That's why friendships are damaged. That's why families are wounded. Because it started with someone that believed a certain version of you instead of hearing the whole truth. And isn't that how it starts, rumors? There has to be some truth. And then what do? They put all the junk after that, right? Kind of like Satan, right? He puts a little bit of truth and then just twists it. Because most of the stories are truths. They're not entire truths, but they get a truth. That way they get you with the hook. You're like, oh, it must be true. No, it's not true about you. Some of you, many of you, I know you. Many of you are our friends. Before I listen to somebody that's not my friend, before I listen to somebody that's not part of our church, before I listen to somebody that doesn't have the best interest for me, I'm going to go to you and talk to you. Because you're my friend. You're my church family. You follow me? I'm not going to listen to somebody else, an outsider, that wants your demise, that wants your destruction. Why would I do that? Oh, Pastor, you're just in denial. No, I'm just biblical. That's all it is. I'm trying to listen. Okay, I heard their story. Now let me see what's the other part of the story, right? That's how that works. Understand, don't form a conclusion without the full story. John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and what? Slow to wrath. Proverbs 13:10, it talks that only by pride cometh what? Contention. Sometimes people hear gossip. Sometimes people hear have truths about you. Sometimes people hear emotional accusations about you. But here's the truth. Those that know you know you. And for us, you know how that feels. If you've been falsely accused, or if you've been portrayed as a certain person that's not who you are, then give other people the grace, right? When you hear a story about someone else, give them the grace to, guess what? Give them the grace to answer their part of the story, okay? Remember how it made you feel when no one believed you. Amen? The honest truth is expose who your friends were and who your friends are really not, okay? That's all that is. But give people the grace. Let them know, hey, you know what? This is what's said about you, but I'm not going to accept it. I want to hear your side. Okay? Second point. Don't let misunderstanding turn you bitter. Don't let misunderstanding turn you bitter. The first point was don't form conclusions without the full story. Second point, don't let misunderstandings turn you bitter. When people misunderstand you, here's the truth. It hurts. And it hurts deeply. Especially when they assume, right? Especially when they repeat the stories that are not true, man. Especially when they judge your character unfairly. But understand, Jesus understands the pain. Pastor, how would you deal with that? The way Jesus did. I don't have to do anything. God will take care of it. The truth eventually what? Comes out. You can't hide the truth. It shines. It's the truth that sets you free. Amen? It's the truth. And then eventually what happens, those are, you know, brought to shame, right? They realize, oh, I was wrong on that assumption. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. That's part of that verse. But that's what Jesus did. He didn't revile again. He didn't go tick for tack. He just let it be. Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What is God saying here? You're going to find favor with him. When people are attacking you for his sake, because you're doing a work for God and you're convicting them for some reason, your character like brings them under conviction. They're like, eh, they're not all that. Let me tell you what they did. Count it a blessing. You found favor with God. You know who they don't talk about? Who do you think they don't talk about? The person that's not doing anything. They have all the friends in the world. All the fake friends. Oh, everybody likes me. No. You're just not doing anything. You don't stand for anything. Yeah. Jesus, who was perfect. Jesus, who mentioned this thing about friends, right? He who shows himself friendly shall have friends. Jesus was hated. Was persecuted, was falsely accused. By the way, he didn't get on social media and bash everybody either, amen? Praise the Lord, they didn't have Facebook back then, amen? But he didn't do that either. He didn't tell the Pharisees all the time, right? Well, you guys are fakes. Now, there were times he preached, amen, you hypocrites, because they were. You serpents, because they were, right? They were deceiving the people. But he never did it to protect his identity. You know what he did? He went to fight for you and for me because these false prophets were trying to confuse, to deceive God's children. That's why he went against the people that were doing the devil's work. But he didn't do it for his identity. He didn't say, my self-image is going to be hurt now. Now I'm not going to have any traffic or any likes or any Facebook. I don't know what else is on social media. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here's the truth. He didn't care about that. Neither should you. When you're misunderstood, please don't grow bitter. Jesus didn't. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I want you to know that not just the devil, not just this world, but your enemy, whoever doesn't like you, they want the misunderstanding to produce anger in you. They want it to produce revenge or vengeance in you. They want you to isolate yourself from the church family. They want you to have resentment. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you continue living that way, guess what it becomes? Spiritual exhaustion. You get tired if you're paying attention to that. Amen? If you're not careful, you will spend your life trying to defend yourself to every critic. You don't have to defend yourself. Victory Baptist Church, you don't have to defend yourself. Young people, you don't have to defend yourself. Did you do anything wrong? If you did it, you don't have to defend yourself. Your character, your success, the truth that God is bringing will speak louder than those words. Amen. You don't have to defend yourself. That's what they hate about you. That no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. That's what they can't stand. They don't understand it. Pastor, rah, you know, I'm going to attack those people that did this. No, don't do that. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what Jesus did. And I'm going to tell you, if you could have or had the chance to influence someone, that probably was your opportunity to be spiritual and influence somebody. What do you mean? Maybe that person that is attacking you, maybe they have friends that you have friends in the same circle. They probably don't even like that person. They probably like you better, and they're trying to see how you're going to handle and respond to that situation. That probably, maybe, I've seen it, you'll probably have more influence over them than that critical friend, so-called person that's attacking you. That's what we don't realize. It's opportunities that God has given us to perform as His children, people of integrity. Amen? To be more like Jesus. Not everybody's going to follow Jesus, but there will be some. And they're going to look at you and how you react, and they're going to say, man, there's something different. That's where you win. When you're misunderstood, that's where you win. Here's the third point. When you're misunderstood, don't become guilty of the same sin yourself. I will be honest with you and transparent. I am guilty of that. There are times where people that were close to us that did something, and man, even till now, I still, you know, but now I'm getting better, amen. I've gone to AAA, and they're helping me every step of, no, I'm joking, I'm not. But here's the thing. They have gone too far measures to try to hurt not just me, but my wife and my family. And that's where I really found out, Miss Carla, who my friends were. Because I thought, in my mind, I'm not playing games. I don't play games. Maybe chess, but I don't play games. And what I'm talking about in life, you know, there's people that do this to get your attention. Man, you're my friend, bro. Like, you don't have to work overtime, okay? You have my attention. I got you. But there are people that play these games. And if they don't get what they want, or they stop, or you stop being used to them, it's almost like they consider love as an object. Once you cannot do anything for them, they just toss you and do away with you. I would have been fine with that. Man, get rid of me. Amen. I'm living fine. Amen. We're great. Get rid of me. You don't need my help anymore. Praise the Lord. But some people, that's not enough. They have to try to destroy you because you're that strong. I know I'm going to sound arrogant, but what I'm trying to explain is this. When we experienced that with my wife, it hurt. It hurt so much that in our relationship, we had to sit down and talk to each other and say, look, let's look at the facts, okay? This. And there were things that I'll admit right now. That's why people right now, so you know, I've learned, don't have access to me the way that people did before. Because it created some kind of wedge. And so I protect myself and my wife. We come to an agreement. This is how it's going to be. And guess what? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be cruel or rude. I'm just putting healthy boundaries. You follow me? But we ended up talking and end up realizing, hey, you know what? Okay. You still love me? Yeah. I still love you. Do you still trust me? Yeah. I still trust you. Okay. We're good. We had to come to this conclusion because I'm going to tell you something, folks. When you and I get hurt by someone, guess what my reaction was?
Well, at least I thought. You follow me? That was my thinking. Oh, man, I have so much of a list. I could just let it air out in laundry. But then I'm thinking, you reap what you sow. And I'm like, well, I don't have that bad of laundry. I mean, it's not that bad, amen? I used to be, never mind. But, I mean, you know, it's not that bad. I think people understand it. You know, you come from Houston, amen? They'll understand some of that stuff. It wasn't right. But here's the truth. I wanted to react. And then guess what got me? Besides my wife, amen? Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Guess what got me? God used those individuals' kids for me not to go after them. And I'm not saying I'm anybody or somebody, but you have to understand, we move differently. If I really wanted to turn into the old me, I can, because that old man is still in there. God saved me from a certain type of life that some of you are not aware of and you don't understand. Here's the truth. Those kids had nothing to do with that, the way their parents were. Those kids were innocent. Now, why in the world would I ever return evil for evil to someone that's innocent? See, I was in those shoes too. I was raised by a single mom, and I know how that feels. And I'm like, no, I don't want to be that person. I don't. So you're going to do some things that probably are not normal to do or natural to do. And one of that is sometimes not becoming guilty of the same sin yourself. Proverbs 18:17, right? We already read that. But Romans 2:1 says, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Just love. Just do right. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. That's not natural for me. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not. Natural for me is what I saw growing up in the circumstances I grew up in. That's natural. I could do jungle. I could survive. But man, let people hurt you and have the right focus and have the right spirit and still serve God? Let people take advantage of you? Let people use you? Abuse you? Reuse you? Refuse you? Amen. I'm a poet, didn't even know it. But all those things and still do right? I don't know about you, but that's tough. All I know, I can't do that, Miss Naomi, unless I go to the scriptures. And what does the word of God tells me? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Folks, confirmation bias does not only affect the world. It affects churches. It affects Christians. It affects marriages. It affects ministries. It affects friendships. And most of all, it affects the next generation. If you and I are not careful, we begin to read or interpret everything through suspicion instead of grace. Don't let them win. If I would have reacted, guess what I was showing them? You have power over my spirit. What you do to me, you can get me to respond to you like that. Guess what I did? Shut it down. Now, it's not because out of my might. It's because of God, His word. And that's what you should do too. Show them they don't have power over you. When people misunderstand you, you don't have to become guilty of the same sin yourself. People may misunderstand you. People may assume things about you. People may hear stories and never ask your side. But you know what? This is the only thing that matters. God sees. God sees the truth. Your responsibility is not to control every opinion. That's not your responsibility, amen? It's not to control everybody's opinion. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to do right, to walk honestly, to speak truth, to keep your heart right. And here's the thing.
Just trust God with your reputation. I hope this helps. I want you to understand there are, like the news outlets, there are a lot of people that misrepresent the truth. Our job, just be honest. Just do right. Just follow God. That's the truth. But pastor, it's not fair. I agree. But he knows. And guess what? There's a law like gravity. What comes up must come down. You can't deny it. It's called you reap what you sow. That's law. And guess what will happen? The truth will come out. Years, it might take years. Sometimes it takes days. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it'll take years sometimes. And guess what? You have, if everything else fails, you at least have a clear conscience between you and God. And you know the truth. That's reward in itself. I don't have to be awake at night thinking, oh, I wish I should have done that. Regrets. No, I give it to God. It's okay. I have my own family problems. Amen. I have girls that eventually are going to, amen. Praise the Lord. Pray for me. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Bow your head, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the crowd.